you know, guard your heart is our theme, for everything you do flows from it. To guard your heart, protect your heart. In this day and age, in the things that's happening around us, there is so many challenges. Abby gave a wonderful testimony this morning. We can just look to the cake and just be that little bit satisfied. Probably eat too much cake, feel a little bit sick. But we can go to the baker, to the maker. And from there we have resource rich, that personal relationship. Lord Jesus asks us to guard our hearts. So today we guard our hearts so you don't wander. Guard your heart so you don't wander from the path. I chose this picture about wandering. Which way are they going? You know? We wander this way, we wander that way. And I chose this picture because soon the tide will come in and just wash it all away, because there's no direction in our thinking. But in Proverbs 4:20, again, I read this. I know I read it a few weeks ago. I read the same as Solomon is writing this. My child, pay attention. So each one of us pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the left or to the right, but keep your foot from evil. Again, that's a reminder just to keep ourselves in check where we're going. In Psalm 119:105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Lord's word is a guide in the darkness, a lamp to my feet. Have you ever thought about that in the context of that time? This is what their lights used to look like. Molded clay, they put oil in it and just have a bit of rope or string that would burn. Do you think you can see much with one of these? Hey? It depends how dark it is. If it's like this, do you think you can see much? So what's the reflection here? The thinking is the word of God is like a light that leads us on the path. But the pathway is only lit a little bit in front as you walk and find your way. So the word of God is meant to be like a light, but can only see where we are going in the direction, not getting caught up right or left, but just seeing what we have in front of us. The trouble that we have is, this is the sort of light we want. We want to see everything. We want to understand everything. We want to see way in front of us. But this is what this word is saying. We're just having a little bit of light and finding our way, the light for our feet to know where we're going. Because otherwise we will wander. When we're like this, we can wander all around. Or we wander in our steps and we get lost. You know, Disclosure here. I do this every now and then. I used to be really, really scared of the dark. Who else is scared of the dark? Some of us, yeah. Okay. You know, I wouldn't even step out of my bed as a child because I thought something was underneath my bed. And I remember nights where the wind would blow and the window would creak, and I think someone's trying to get in through the window. And our backyard, where Mum and Dad were, we had a creek down the back. So we had a back fence, but the creek was down the back. And I didn't want to walk out the back and go down the back steps because it was dark. And then Helen and I got a job running a Christian campsite in Campbelltown, 140 acres. All of a sudden, we went from suburbia block to 140 acres in the bush. And there was a lot of night, and there was a lot of dark. And so then I had to challenge myself and think, okay, how am I going to cope with this? So I forced myself to go without a torch and to walk into the bush at night. In the paths that I knew, I'm not talking pitch black because then I'll just smack into a tree, right? But I'm talking a little bit of moonlight that would allow you to find. And soon as I walked through these tracks, I would hear noises, and then I realized it was possums or other night animals. And I started to go to myself, actually, it's not so bad. Every now and then a spider web, but, you know, that's how it goes. And I'd walk through the bush at night and start getting used to it. And then I would go up to, we had a soccer field up the back, and I'd spend some time in prayer up there. But I would learn to say to myself, I do not need to fear the dark. The dark is not so dangerous if I've got a little bit of light. It's very dangerous if there's no light because then you hit things. But I think this is what it's all about. We in our own minds can look to darkness as, you know, or stumbling in our way. But we just need a bit of light just to guide us and not to carry so much fear and anxiety and just keep our eyes focused on what is true. So I want to lead us into a story about someone who could so easily have wandered away but kept their focus. Going into Genesis chapter 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Joseph, many of you may know his story, some may not. Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons, and his brothers were jealous of him, and so they tried to kill him but then decided to sell him as a slave. So this is where we pick it up. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites. So he's now been sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Setting the scene. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said to him, "Lie with me." I think you all know what that means. If you don't, you can come and see me later. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her or lie with her or be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men were in the house, none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. So here's Joseph, sold as a slave. His brothers sold him off. He's now a slave of a man called Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife thinks that he's pretty nice and wants to do things to him that he doesn't want to be part of. So I mentioned to you about someone that could easily have wandered. So here's the question. What did Joseph do to stop from wandering? He had every right to wander in many ways. Remember, he was a slave. He's in a foreign country. No one was around that knew him, like family or friends or anyone. He had these opportunities in front of him. So what did he do to stop from wandering? He explicitly refused her advances. Straight up front. Temptation would have been there, no doubt. But he said, "No way, not going near. Stay away. Your husband is my master, and I am following everything that he has given to me and I'm going to stay away. Straight away, you stay away. He recognized the sin against God. I find this so interesting for a statement to be made. As I said, he is in a foreign country. He's been sold as a slave. You know, you'd think his justification would be, I can't do this, this is your husband, I'm going against your husband. But no, he brings it to a much bigger understanding. His faith in God and God being overseer of where he was at is really important here. Because Joseph saw accountability, that God is watching everything that he is doing. The trouble for you and I in this day and age is, do we still allow accountability between God and ourselves? Or do we live in a world that we're just worried about what other people think about us? Or we're worried that other people might see us doing something wrong? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Are we in a world that we think we can get away with things until somebody catches us? Or do we have a worldview, a mindset view, a faith view that God is keeping us accountable in our choices? He avoided being near her. Straight away, she's out to get me. So he tried to, as much as he could, stay away. Stay away from the temptation. Stay away from this. Try as much as he could to stay away. We have to do the same. Things that are not right, we need to stay away from them if we know it's going to be our downfall or our challenge for us. He fled from the scene. He ran away. He was in a stuck position, wasn't he? He ran away when it got so bad. He maintained his integrity above his safety. This is another really important lesson here. Joseph maintained his integrity above his safety. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be. But he maintained his integrity. Unfortunately, he ends up in jail. I don't know if he had any defense lawyers or anything like that to argue his point. I don't know if there was evidence portrayed here, but he realized that there's going to be consequence either way. But his integrity was so important, and that was above his safety. And he trusted God with the consequences. He still trusted God with the consequences. His integrity, his moral understanding of what's right and wrong held strong in this place. But it still landed him in jail. So, the funny part in this story, funny or strange ironies in this story, keeps saying God is with him. And the question should be posed, if God is with him, why did his brothers sell him to the Ishmaelites? He becomes a slave. If God is with him, how does he end up in jail now? If God is with him, then why do these so-called bad things happen to him? And you and I can ask the same sort of questions. We can ask the same sort of questions. Is a life following the Lord Jesus always going to protect us from something that we think is not right? I don't believe so. Our journeys will be our journeys. But God is asking you and I to have a moral accountability, to understand when things are not right, and to keep focused on what is right. And so I showed you a dark picture before. This place of walking through the darkness, being afraid of things that may take place. But the thing is, we do a lot of this to ourselves. So I'm going to give you my idea or my picture version of our faith journey and what we often do, but we shouldn't. So, how we wander. So if I could give you, yes, Andrew, I am going to use the dot thing, all right. If this is the black, the world of sin, I know we can't give it like defined, but I'm talking about if this is the black is a sin, and this is staying within God's value system, if you want to put it in that way. And in the center we have Jesus, right? This is what we do generally as believers in the Lord Jesus. We sit on the peripheral out here. Right? We really should be wanting to go to the heart of Jesus, but we travel around the peripheral. And so we go, oh, I'm in God's, I'm doing all right. And then all of a sudden, oh, I sin, or I'm going back to Jesus, he's forgiven me, and then I start going back to the peripheral. What I mean by that is I should be centered in Jesus, but you know, there's some movies that might be all right to see, or there might be something that's not right. But if I just stay on the edge of that, you know, my sinful nature, just staying along the edge, but I don't want to step over it. You know, I don't want to anger God, so I'm going to stay on the peripherals, right? And our journey keeps going like this. As we travel around, staying on the edges. Yes, I'm in with Jesus. I'm good. Oh, now I've gone to sin, and then I come back and repent here, and then come back again. We do that. We don't want to do it so much, but we do that. That's the world we live in. We're always trying to, in our sinful nature, just trying to navigate our faith journey. But where we need to be is here. We need to be centered in Jesus. We need to be centered in finding our way to the Lord Jesus, and not trying to travel around all the edges. And that's the struggle we have, because we want to wander. How would we have gone in Joseph's story? How would you have gone in Joseph's story? Quick to get angry. Oh, I'm sold as a slave. I'm here in this foreign country. No one can see what I'm doing. I can do whatever I want. But Joseph kept that moral integrity. So from that dark, you can move to a place of light. You can find your way, keeping your eyes firmly on the Lord Jesus. So above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We see Joseph's heart. We even see Joseph in jail. And even when he's in jail, he does a good job. That even the jailer says, do as you need to. Because he holds integrity and moral value, and keeps focused and doesn't wander away. And if you know more of Joseph's story, he ends up second in charge of all Egypt, because God is with him, and because God is with him, God leads him because of his integrity and his moral standing, and he's more interested in what God has for him than anything else. So what comes out of your heart is really important. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's so easy for us to wander. Our sinful nature will take us on pathways and journeys that we don't want to go. We push limits in our own journeys. We often get concerned more about what other people think, or we're more concerned about the consequences of our actions. And Lord, we're finding that this day and age, we're even concerned about sharing you with others. Some of us may lose our jobs. Some of us may lose our friends. Some of us may lose a lot more than we expect. But you're asking us to keep our eyes fixed on you. So Lord Jesus, once again, help us to use your word as a light to our path. And as we walk that path, we pray that our hearts are guarded and that things may look bad, but they are not so bad when we stop and recognize that you are with us in all things. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us as you do. Amen.